In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. The story of the birth of Jesus. What child is this? Is the question that the song puts to words, and we're going to sing it together. What child is this? It's good to be together for a few moments to remember, to praise the Lord God for the gift of Jesus, and to think a while about what that means, what it meant, what it still means. You will find a baby. And this baby will be a sign that says a Savior has been born, Christ the Lord, a son of David, the anointed King. You remember what we've been saying here these last weeks while the Advent candles have been getting lit? We've been asking the question, who is Jesus? And we've said a few things. We've said, well, he's the Prince of Peace. He's a king who holds a scepter. He's powerful and he's important. And yet, oddly enough, it's not a palace in which he is born. It's a stable. And oddly enough, Joseph and Mary aren't really important people. They're just ordinary people. They're not famous or rich. And the people who came to see Jesus right at the start there, the shepherds, they weren't rich or famous either. They were just shepherds, ordinary, minimum wage people, maybe less. What have we been saying every Sunday? It's a mystery. There's something strange about this. Jesus is a prince and a king and he has a scepter, but he's born as if he is poor and weak and ordinary. And then last Sunday, to top it all off, we said, who is Jesus? Why, he's the Creator. He made all things. What? This is an even bigger mystery. That Jesus, this little baby, this Jesus is in fact the Creator who made all things. But listen, if Jesus is a little boy baby, then how can he possibly be the Creator? Because he's not a creator then, is he? He's the creature. How can you possibly make sense of that? This will be the sign. You will find a baby. What does it mean when you find a baby? What does it mean when there's a baby? Well, you know, except for some exceptions, as a general rule, babies arrive because people love each other. And babies arrive because they are, in their own way, expressions, powerful expressions of love. They happen within the framework of a relationship. And you know what? That's the first thing that the Christmas baby reminds us of. This baby is here, like every baby. This baby is here because, well, in his case, because of God's age-old, strong and true and resilient, never-say-die love for humanity and for the whole creation. This baby, Jesus, is the sign that God wants to be close to us. He does. It's what he wanted right from the start, you know, in the garden. He wanted to be close, but we didn't trust him. We wanted more. We started hiding, remember? And he came looking, remember? It's what he wanted. It's what God wanted when he made a covenant with us and he said, you know, I promise to be faithful and I ask you to be faithful, But we couldn't. We wouldn't. We didn't, for sure. God forgave and said, let's start again. And again. And again. And we tried some. And it got awkward. God kept saying how he wanted to be close to us and wanted us to be close to him, but we didn't always trust him that close, and sometimes it seems safer for God to be a little bit further away, and sometimes we even accused him of staying away and not really caring, even though he said he cared. A lot of the time we ourselves kept the distance, though we wouldn't admit that so easily. And finally, God did this new thing. God came to us in a way that we could not avoid his closeness, in a way that we could not mistrust his closeness. God found this new way to tell us that he loves us, that he wants to be near to us. How did God do that? He became one of us. God found a way to make his point by being totally, totally disarming towards us. And it's absolutely scandalous. It is. This is the Creator. The Creator of heaven and earth. The Creator of mountains and galaxies and tornadoes and butterflies. And speakers and microphones. And all kinds of things. And the Northern Lights. He is powerful. And he is majestic. And he rides the clouds and he doesn't need a scepter. He can just snap his fingers. He can just imagine things and they just come to pass right now. He could sit us down and he could force us to do anything he wanted. What does he do? He comes as one of us. He comes as a helpless baby who can't even roll over on his back by himself. He comes in weakness and in smallness and in earthiness, a baby. Imagine. Imagine if I were holding a baby right now. You know what happens when people are around a pretty newborn baby? Well, it doesn't take long before somebody says, may I hold the baby? Or it doesn't take long before somebody asks, would you like to hold the baby? Please. Please do. Imagine now. You are holding this baby, the one you know as Jesus. Careful with his head. That neck's not so strong yet, so make sure you've got it supported. And then say to yourself, this baby that I'm holding in my arms, I'm holding in my arms God. I'm holding God in my arms. And you lean in. Imagine. You lean in and you can smell Mary's milk on his breath. And you can feel through the clothes, you can feel the damp warmth spreading through those swaddling cloths. And you know this is a little one whose diaper will need changing. This is a little one who's going to keep his parents from sleeping well for weeks, maybe months. This is a little one like every little one who changes the lives of his parents forever. Believe it. Helpless and dependent. You can count 10 fingers and you're onto the toes and he looks like you, me. He's of us. And you say, this is God? Where is his majesty? Where is his power? Where is his self-respect? Christmas announces the birth of a baby. And Christmas says, this is what God has decided to look like. And this is the way in which God has come close to us so that we could know for sure that His love was from the heart. We couldn't escape His nearness this way. You can't escape babies that way. God wanted us close enough so that we would learn to trust Him. And how can you mistrust a baby? God wanted us close enough so that we would begin to learn how deep His love runs. See, God was willing to do anything. Anything at all for the sake of His children. For you, for me, for everyone alive in this world. And even if He is the creator of heaven and earth, He is willing to humble Himself this far. To take on human life, to be one of His own creatures, flesh and blood, to be a helpless baby wrapped in cloths, laid in a manger, to be a condemned man on a cross, wrapped in cloths, laid in a tomb. To humble Himself for the sake of love. To suffer for the sake of love. To love until death. I was reading a story this week about a little 5-year-old girl named Sharon. And she was telling the people there the story of Christmas. And she wrapped it up like this and she said, "And then the baby was born. And do you know who he was?" And she whispered, "The baby was God." And she jumped up and turned around and dove into the couch and hid herself under the pillows. Because the idea that that was what happened was just crazy. Her reaction was so honest and so to the point. Why aren't the rest of us on our sofas with our heads under our pillows? We've gotten used to this story. It's familiar. We know it so well and we love it. I do. But we've made it so warm and pretty and sweet and magical, and it's gotten to where it blends in with 1,000 other things, and it feels good, but I wonder, for myself too, if we've remembered that this little baby presents us with a gigantic, stupendous mystery. I wonder if we still experience Christmas and this little baby as a doorway into the mystery of God's strange and wonderful ways of making Himself known to us in the ordinary things. And the mystery of God's never-say-die love for you and me and everyone in the world, and for the world itself too, the creation. God wants us to know the preciousness of everything, of life, of the world, creaturely life, of blood and sweat and tears and laughter and pain and joy. Joy to the earth. Fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Life in the here and now is a gift from God, and in this life, God makes Himself known to us. Through nature, yes. Through each other, yes, we are images after all of God. But to see ourselves, not only, but to see everybody around us with such a sense of preciousness, to uncover the presence of God in the here and now, in people, in nature, in life. This all begins by seeing in this Christmas baby, Jesus, the impossible possibility. The baby was God. And God says, unwrap this gift. Unwrap it. Open it up. Receive it. And you will discover a mystery of love that can never be fully unwrapped. It starts with Jesus. Oh, yes. And it opens up to the mystery of others and to the mystery of life and the mystery of the God whose love gave birth to the universe. All of it gift. And when we start seeing it that way, living that way, then you know what happens? Every single morning becomes another Christmas morning. It's a lifetime of unwrapping, of being surprised and deepened and hurt and humbled and overwhelmed with wonder, because every inch of ordinary life is suddenly holy ground. And every moment of time is sacred, and every single human being is an image of the invisible God. The baby is a sign. God is with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. And it's our life's work. And our life's play. To unwrap the truth of that good news. Enjoy it today, Christmas, and every Christmas morning in the year coming. Amen.